Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 21st, 2017. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 30, More About Alcoholism, the very first paragraph. Today's readers are Karen C. on the 12 Steps, Zakiya J. on the 12 Tradition, and reading the text are Christine K., Linda R., and Chrissy G. Our newcomer greeter is Linda R., and leading the second hour is Maura Z. I don't seem to have the code from yesterday. Yes, I do. The code for Thursday, April 20th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 9858, and the 10 a.m. meeting is 9859. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service. This is Karen C. from Indiana. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for a knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, Kathy, for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen C. Zakiya J., read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you so much, Kathy. This is Zakiya J with the Overeaters Anonymous 12 Traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups of or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous shouldn't... Someone's unmuted, please. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service board or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous have no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name would never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Television and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you so much for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Zakiya J. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 30, more about alcoholism, and we will begin with the first two paragraphs. And I will ask Christine K. to get us started.
Good morning. This is Christine K. from Raleigh, North Carolina. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Therefore, it is not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. I'm going to set my timer. I'm Christine Kay from Raleigh, North Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater. And there is just, this is such an amazing paragraph, and I really prayed to say what would come from my heart and be of most use to other people that are suffering today. I have this highlighted and underlined, and I have notes written. And what stands out to me is I spent 40-something years trying to convince myself that I was not a compulsive overeater. And I, you know, I came into OA in my early 20s, but I really just wanted to be thin. I didn't want to do the steps. I didn't want to hear about anything else. I just wanted to be thin. And the first time around, it happened pretty quickly. I was in my early 20s. I'm pretty active. And so I just used it as a diet program. And I kept returning to food over and over and over. And the idea that someday, somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. I never understood that. And I didn't want to think that I was bodily and mentally different from his fellows because I had this superior attitude. Like, well, see, I can lose weight. I'm not that bad. I'm not that different. I can have a little once in a while. I never understood that I was mentally different from my fellows. And I just didn't know how to fully concede. I always had in the back of my mind, I can beat this. I can do it. I'm going to find the right diet. And, you know, I pursued that up until last year. I came to this meeting and listened and felt better, but then I would go out and binge because I wouldn't change anything. And it was finally when I called and said I need help, and somebody reached out to me and said, I'll take you through the doctor's opinion. I had no idea what that meant, but I was like, okay, because all of you guys sound really good. And, you know, my sponsor kept asking me, you know, what are the things you've tried, and do you have any other tricks up your sleeve? Are you done? And I was like, well, of course I'm done. I'm calling you. And she said, no, I want you to really think, are you done? And I had to really think about that. You know, do you think you're really a compulsive overeater? And I had to finally let go. And then when that sponsor led me through the doctor's opinion and the first, you know, 164 pages, I finally understood that I was bodily and mentally different. And there was no controlling this disease. And I'm trying to stop my timer. And that's 3 minutes for me. And I just want to say that I'm so very grateful for this program. And the changes in my life have been nothing short of amazing. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christine K. Who would like to share in what was just read?
Nessa R. S.
Matt M. Matt M.
Okay, let me tell you who I have so far. I have Nessa R., Tina S., Matt M., Larry K. Who else?
Dorita P.
Dorita P. I heard someone else behind Dorita.
Harlan G.
Harlan G. Okay.
Jackie B.
Okay, we're going to stop there. I got you, Jackie B. And then we'll take another round afterwards. So we have Nessa R., Tina S., Matt M., Larry K., Dorita P., Harlan G., and Jackie B. Please go ahead, Nessa.
Thank you. Good morning, Vision for You. My name is Nessa R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Whenever I read these words, you know, trying to enjoy, simultaneously trying to control and enjoy my eating, reminds me of the many times you know, fists in bags or boxes, saying to myself, tomorrow it will be different. Tomorrow I will do it. Tomorrow will be the beginning of the rest of my life. And of course, the implication there was, but now I'm going to binge my brains out. And that delusion that tomorrow was going to be different allowed me, even if for just that one moment, to actually enjoy my drinking under the delusion that I had it under control, because tomorrow, of course, it was going to be different. But that is a delusion. You know, delusion is a lie that we tell ourselves in order to make ourselves feel better. You know, I cannot eat on the truth. I cannot say to myself, well, I'm going to have this binge now, and tomorrow is going to be the same as today. Tomorrow I'm going to make a million promises, not fulfill any of them, continue binging my brains out all the way up to 200 pounds, and maybe even more. If I said to myself that, I mean, I don't know that I'd be able to eat on that lie, but when I tell myself on that truth, that when I say to myself a lie, tomorrow will be different, tomorrow will be better, that I can eat on and I can enjoy my binging. And of course, tomorrow never came because it was always tomorrow for me. And that's why that delusion has to be smashed. And when I think about smashing something, I think about, I don't know, like a piece of pottery that I smash into like a very fine powder so that it can never, ever, ever be put back together again. You know, the big book says in so many places in these readings that we do in chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, it says, you know, we have to abandon our old ideas. And that's an idea that I really had to let go of, an idea that I really had to smash beyond the possibility of rehabilitation. It was that tomorrow it's going to be different. Because tomorrow was no different. If tomorrow had been different, I wouldn't be here. You know, I wouldn't be here every single morning of every single day. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nessa R. Tina S., please go ahead.
Thanks, Kathy, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, some good stuff. Thanks to the reader, I could really relate to nothing short of amazing my life is today, and a life beyond my wildest dreams. And you know, I really love this chapter. You know, I buy in when I read this that I'm all in. You know, and I like that it talks about, you know, because my career was certainly characterized by countless, too many to count, vain attempts to eat like a normal person. You know. And also, you know, it's just amazing to me. When I tried to control my eating, there was no way I can enjoy it, you know. And when I enjoyed it, there's no controlling, you know. And you know, I am no different. I am definitely an abnormal eater, you know. And the insanity was certainly there, you know. I welcomed the going to the psychiatric ward. You know, when I got there, I wasn't so happy, you know, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll try this OA thing. But, you know, if I had continued in the disease, certainly I would have died. I would hope to die. I did hope to die. Maybe I would have lived in the disease. But, you know, I'm real grateful that one day at a time, you know, that I have this opportunity. When I fully concede, you know, complete defeat, you know, and it took me a while to get that, you know, it took me a while, you know, and in complete defeat, you know, I'm certainly 100% step one. I'm ready for the solution, which is, you know, steps 2 through 12. You know, and I got to do the work. So I'm grateful to be here, grateful that I belong, and thanks. That'll pass.
Thank you, Tina F. Matt M., please go ahead.
Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M., compulsive overeater from near New Jersey. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. For me, I have a lot of weight to lose, but I always thought that I can find the perfect diet or find the one way, some diet guru or some place to go where I can lose the weight and still continue eating compulsively. I didn't want to admit that I was a compulsive overeater because that would mean I would have to give up everything I used to love to eat. But did I really love to eat all that stuff? Because after the first bite, I really tasted the food anyway going down. until it was all gone. And when it was gone, my stomach was full and sick to bursting. I didn't taste the food. But in my mind told me, oh, it'll be better next time. You'll enjoy it next time. And I never did, never do. And I didn't like to concede to my animal self that I was a compulsive overeater. But I do now. So that is the first step towards my recovery. I'm working with a sponsor and trying to get through these steps so I can get recovered. And it's not easy because the food is calling to me right now. It wants me. It wants me back. It wants me to go back into its embrace like it's like a lover. Like it said, I heard someone read before a letter from your addiction. And it's true. It wants to take everything good from me. It wants to take my life. It wants to take my friends, my family, my everything. And I know that since I'm like a real compulsive eater, I never will ever gain control over the food. There's certain things I have to leave out of my life forever. And it sucks because sometimes my brain tells me, you need this food. You need to go back to eating this. And I really don't. Believe me, I've ruined myself on food. I've had my chance to eat every single thing in the book. I've done it. I've tried everything under the sun. I don't need to try it again. And I'm just grateful that, you know, I know that if I continue down the path and go back to the food, my life will get worse, never better. It says in the bottom. And I'm just glad that I don't have to do that today. I don't have to get worse. I can start to get better. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Matt. Larry K., please go ahead.
Thanks, Kathy. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thanks.
Okay, great. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. You know, you can be a smart person, but still be utterly delusional. That was an interesting concept for me to get. And because to be delusional is just simply to misconceive, to misinterpret, to just misunderstand. And our frame of reference is skewed. Mine was. And, you know, even Einstein, he changed the world by suggesting that one's frame of reference, the frame of reference of the observer, where I stood as a compulsive reader when I came here, that frame of reference, that changed my reality. And Einstein asked, you know, he said he had this experiment. If you were on a train moving at a consistent rate of speed and from your open window, you let a stone drop into the embankment, you would notice that it descended in a straight line. Yet if you were someone not on the train, you know, on the embankment watching the very same action, someone watching from a footpath outside the train, you would see the stone fall in a curving motion, in a parabolic curve, he called it. Whose reality was right? Both. Einstein said both realities were right because both each person viewed it from their own frame of reference. So the observer, where the observer stands. So where are you standing? Are you on the embankment watching someone else do the actions, take the steps? Then just the very nature of what you observe, not having experienced it, your reality is correct. It's true to you. Not going to get you recovered, but it's true. Yet someone who has crossed the bridge to this recovered state, they also see it in a different manner because their frame of reference is different now. They've been changed. By the grace of God, I've been changed. It's not a judgment of who, if you're on the train, are you better than the person on the embankment that sees it from their frame of reference? No, not at all. There's no moral judgment in that. But rest assured, my frame of reference sitting on the sidelines, it was true to me. What I saw was my reality. And so I continue to do what I always did, and I continue to get what I always received. And that wasn't recovery. Once I got on the train, so to speak, and I crossed the bridge, that God did that for me, my frame of reference is different now. I've experienced something different. Both our frame of references are true. They're our reality. But the actions change that. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. Dorita P., please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita P. from Cleveland. I'm a compulsive overeater and really grateful to be here. I want to welcome the newcomers. You're the most important people here on the line. Yeah, most of us were unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics, real compulsive overeaters. I had a little problem when I first came in back in 1999. I had a little problem with the word compulsive overeater. I guess in the back of my mind, I knew what it meant, but I was acting as if I didn't know what the word meant or that it wasn't me. I had a problem with, like I said, the word compulsive overeater, and that the problem is a disease or illness. I had problems with all of those terms, but, you know, I said, okay, well, whatever you all call, you know, not being able to stop eating, that's me. So I'm just grateful. And this idea that somehow, someday, we will control and enjoy our drinking was the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. Yeah, that was me with my diets. You know, I knew that my diets were temporary, so I knew that I could always go back. And it was crazy because I would go on these diets and lose the weight and be baffled that I gained the weight back after the diet. Well, you know, if I stop eating something, if I eat salads and broccoli and stuff like that to lose the weight, and then I start eating chocolate and ice cream and cake, you know, of course I'm going to gain the weight. But for some reason, it was like baffling to me when I would gain the weight back, because I would, you know, make vows to myself that this time I'm not going to gain the weight back. So I'm just really grateful. I know I'm a compulsive overeater. And, you know, for me, and I'm sure for all of us who are recovered, that, you know, it's freeing. It's very freeing. You know, I know what I am. I know what I can eat. I know what's not good for me to eat. And I'm grateful that now I know. Before, I didn't know. I shared earlier in the week that I broke my foot, so I'm laying up here with my foot elevated. You know, I had to come to realize or come to accept that I am disabled. But I just want to say that, you know, as far as the food goes, my food is good. In fact, my food may be even better now. But I'm grateful. You know, I have people calling and, what can I bring you? You know, my family I come from a family of compulsive overeaters. So when somebody gets sick, you know, the first thing they want to bring you is food. And I said, well, no. They're like, well, what are you eating? I said, you know, I'm grateful that I'm able to eat the same food that I've been eating. I said, my mom is, you know, going back and forth to the grocery store for me. Thank you. And so with that, I'll pass. And thank you for the newcomers being here. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. Harlan G., please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Kathy, and thank you to Team Friday for making this great meeting so possible. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Scottsdale, Arizona. And from the moment I was born, the world looked at me, and I looked at the world, and the world looked at me and wondered, why in the name of God is this boy eating so much? And I looked at them and wondered, why, how, in the name of God, can these people avoid eating so much? How in the world is it possible that they have this Lake Michigan amount of willpower that allows them to eat two cookies and say, oh, these are too sweet, I don't want any more? Or how is it that they can open up an Almond Joy bar and split it with somebody and not think a thing of it? Because I couldn't do that. I could not function at that level with food. That the food was doing something for me that it didn't seem to do for them. And it says here that the idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. I'll tell you exactly where I got that idea. from every adult, every doctor, every dentist, every parent of a friend, every teacher, everybody in my environment told me that once I got down to a certain weight, I would be fine. And in my mind, the word fine meant that I would not have to think about food or control my food or worry about how much food I was eating ever again. That's what I mistakenly conceived that they were telling me. The persistence of this illusion, what's an illusion? Illusion is a delusion. It's a mirage. It's something that appears real but is not. It's astonishing. Many pursue it to the gates of insanity or death. I pursued it to the gates of insanity or death. I was 335 pounds as a senior in high school. By the time I graduated college, I was 600 pounds, and I was to get heavier than that. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. What is an alcoholic? What is a compulsive overeater? We hear that term every day. A compulsive overeater is a human being afflicted with a permanent allergy to certain foods, and that allergy is an adverse abnormal reaction causing an actual physical craving for more of the same, and a twist of the mind that when the emotions build up will drive me irresistibly against my will into the arms of that food, which I admit is injurious, but I cannot tell the truth from the false. And this allergy of the body is arrestable through the cessation of consumption, and the mental twist is only able to I'm able to function with it. I'm not thinking clearly this morning. I'm on my way to Little Rock, Arkansas to do Big Book. It's only relievable through a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, and my ability to absorb the doctor's opinion will mark the urgency with which I will work the rest of the steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Harlan G. Jackie B., go ahead, please. Press star one, Jackie.
Hi, I'm Jackie B. from the Bronx. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you. Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater and recovered today, one day at a time. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the greatest obsession of every abnormal drinker. That's the one I highlighted, which is what everybody else, and I identified so much with everybody that shared and will share. It's funny, I read this chapter last night with my sponsee, and she says that she wonders about that. And I said, and she said, what do I think about it? And I said, you know what? Once I'm a pickle, I can't go back to being a cucumber. And I've come to that, understanding today. No matter what, where, how, if, when, thing, I will never, ever be a normal eater. And I'm okay with that today. I know, and I'm grateful that I know I'm a compulsive overeater. It takes out the stress of trying to manipulate, twist, change, being able to fit my life into everybody else's. You know, today I live, I'm part of events, but I also know who I am. I am going to meet my cousins I haven't seen in several years, and they said, oh, you want to have we're going to have a barbecue at my house. And I did not flinch once because I said, wow, great. I'll bring my food. We'll put it on the barbecue. We'll be good. That is so grateful. Grateful that I know who I am and that I'm going to be able to be present for people places and things, for this recovery, for life, for everything now. Because once I admit that I cannot eat certain foods, no matter what, then I take them out, then I can be present. Yes, sometimes fears comes up, sometimes anxiety, fear, everything comes up. But you know what? I can face it because the food is not in the equation. Life is in the equation. My higher power is in my equation. Recovery, calling other people, asking for help, asking for advice, that's in my equation today. So with that, I am so grateful. I thank everybody for this service, and thank you for being my lifeline today. Have a lovely day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jackie B. Who would like to share?
Charles
Melissa H.
Anna M.
Roz.
Leslie W.
Elaine B.
Debbie. Roz.
Leslie W.
Okay. Let me tell you who I heard. I know I missed some people. Charles S., Melissa C., Elaine B., Roz R. Who else did I miss?
Anna M.
Okay, I heard somebody with the last name starting with P. Who is that?
Is it Debbie P?
Debbie P. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Kathy R.
Okay.
Anna M.
I have you, Anna. Okay.
Leslie W.
Here's who I have: Charles S., Melissa C., Elaine B., Roz R., Anna M., Debbie P., and Kathy. What was your last initial, please? Was there a Kathy who said they wanted to share? Okay. Let's begin then with Charles H. Please go ahead, Charles.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. My drinking career has been characterized by feigned attempts to prove we could drink like other people. This is greatly tightening the screws for someone that really, you know, even forget that willingness stuff, and you know, forget that. You know, I thank my higher power for waking me up today, because I'm a newcomer today. I've never been here before. So if we look at it from that aspect, all that stuff I did yesterday and all that glaze and all that, yeah, I'm recovered and I'm flying around the world. If you don't do the same thing today, you ain't recovered, right? So, you know, everybody's a newcomer today. Nobody ever been here before. And if I follow this prescription, take my medicine, I'm going to be all right. I'm never good. I'm going to be all right. I'm just keeping it that humble. And this page 30 is tight in the schools over it, and that's why everybody want to, you know, talk about it. And people are excited that they're actually living today. You know, I found out that, you know, I don't have to judge myself by overbooking. If I go to work and stay absent and away from my substances, I think that's enough for me. Because when I stay less busy, I can see the disease coming. I just got to stay away from my substances and those behaviors, right? Because the delusion that I'm like other people has to be smashed. I'm not normal when it comes to certain substances. And, you know, when I space my day out and I don't be, you know, thinking about what I don't think about what I have to say anymore. And for people that be like, oh, why you don't talk on the line every day? Because God's doing a different thing in me today. God's like, don't waste your time trying to get your 3 minutes of fame. And that's just me. But I listen every day because I have to take my medicine. I am not normal when it comes to eating. So I have to do this. If I didn't have to do this, believe me, I got other things to be doing. But I want to get on living. So I have to understand and I have to fully concede to my innermost self that I'm a real compulsive overeater. I'm not saying that to be, I don't want to be a compulsive overeater. But it is what it is, so I'm going to do what I got to do. And with that, I pass. So I'll let everybody else rock.
Thank you, Charles H. Melissa C., please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Kathy. It's Melissa C. Am I able to be heard?
Yes, Melissa.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, yeah, when I read this, it's, no, I did not want to be different from others. You know, I always felt different and apart from, you know, I'd see my weight, though, as the obstacle. You know, that was the visual mark that I was different, you know, and in my mind, less than and noticeably flawed, you know, and I certainly couldn't hide this from myself or others, you know. My 300-pound plus body was the cause of all my problems, you know, and that's what I thought. Because if I could just look normal, then I would be the same as everyone else. You know, I didn't know or want to know that I was different mentally, you know. No wonder I made diets, my God, you know, because if I could stick to a diet like everyone else, then I could get thin like everyone else, and I can control and enjoy my eating like everyone else, or so I thought, you know. And the other thing that grabbed me was the word vain, you know, the countless vain attempts. And, you know, vain has two meanings, you know. And for me, here, they both apply. You know, one, vain is excessively obsessed with the appearance of things, a high opinion of an appearance, or obsessed with what something is worth. And the other meaning of vain is producing no results. You know, so my attempts, they were the embodiment of my vain self. You know, I was focused on my looks and appearance, and that had no result. You know, so every diet that focused on getting me to look, my appearance to be fixed, was vain. And every diet that I went on was vain because it didn't work, you know. And so what I really had to come to accept was my mental difference, that and the diet never fixed your brain, you know. And so what I needed was a transformation. I needed my brain refixed. I needed a new personality. And thank you. So glad to know that. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Elaine B., please go ahead.
Thanks so much for your service, Kathy. Oh, boy, do I love this this chapter. And it's amazing to me how many times I read this chapter. And I began to understand my disease. I began to understand my hopelessness and my powerlessness. But you know what? I wasn't ready. It's like my very first OA meeting, I went in and they said, blah, 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 no flour, no sugar, blah, 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 no sugar, blah, 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 no sugar. It's like they were speaking a different language. I guess I wasn't ready for it. So I put down the sugar for 2 months. I'm like, I got this. Yeah, I got this in a 100-pound extra weight body. You know, I did lose some weight when I put down the sugar, but I picked it back up as soon as I went back out. And so, I don't know. I read this and read this and read this, but it wasn't until I came into this room, so maybe I was ready, or maybe my blind eyes were made to see and my deaf ears were made to hear the message. And I thank God for the rooms of OA that kept my heart pumping and kept me alive and kept me somewhat within some boundaries. But I did not get this, that the great obsession of every abnormal drinker is that someday, somehow, I will control and enjoy my drinking. You know, I think of an alcoholic. You know, oh boy, you know, it's so easy for them because they put down their liquor. And yeah, but they drink all the time. They drink water, they drink tea, they drink soda, they drink all the time. And they have safety in those parameters. I needed to find the way that I have safety in my parameters by finding out about the allergy of the body. The obsession of the mind is a greater aspect of my disease, but the allergy of the body was something that I just didn't get. I didn't realize that when I picked up popcorn and started committing it more and more often, and my food sponsor, my OA sponsor, bristled a little bit, and so I just started lying and said it was vegetables. You know, I thought I could. It was my obsession, control and enjoy my popcorn. But you know what? I couldn't, because it led to more. It led to this. It led to that. Then we'd have a war over a glass of wine. And you know what? The disease went out, because it's cunning and it's baffling and it's powerful. And I'm like, you know, it's weighed and measured. It's part of my committed food plan. Doesn't matter. Drag me out the door. Got my face in the dirt. But it made me awake. It made me aware. It made me realize how powerful this disease was, that I was absolutely beyond human aid, beyond sponsors, beyond food plans, beyond anything. I need divine intervention, and I found it in these steps. And I'm so grateful for this room, this fellowship, my higher power, and this precious book. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. Roz R., please go ahead.
Hi, Kathy. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. My name is Roz R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, which I never thought I would see the day to say. Thank you for your service, Kathy. I love this this chapter. I am so relating to everything. That was me. No person likes to think he's bodily, mentally different than his fellows. I've been in program over 35 years. I really believed that I was different than everybody. I really thought that I didn't believe God could really remove defects. I mean, I didn't believe any of that. I went for the diet. I went for the, you know, to be with people, because I was so isolated in my own world that the only time I was with people was when I went to a meeting. And then I didn't have relationships with people, because as soon as I left, I was alone again. I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't even believe that there was such a thing that was possible. All I know is what drove me into working this program the way that it is being taught or being educated to us by vision sponsors in this meeting, was brought here on my knees by my emotional breakdown. I've been carrying, you know, a normal body weight. It didn't matter. My life was totally out of control and insane. The thing, you know, there's so many things in here I wanted to say relating to this, but what I really want to say is, you know, I never liked sponsoring people, and I hated it, because you can't give what you don't have. And I would just, you know, talk the talk. But I am so amazed at watching the transition in the girls that I'm sponsoring. It leaves me in awe. And it's like, on bad days when I feel like, oh, I have, you know, I'm not in the mood for this, or I don't have anything to give. You know, it's amazing. It's like they carry me. They picked up this program. They picked up God. They picked up the spirituality of this program, and it's so beautiful. I am so moved by the change in my life, and sometimes when things happen, when I'm very overwhelmed, and I feel like I'm going to die from the pain inside of me, it's so amazing, because you know, I do what I'm told to do. I talk to recovered people, and they don't tell me how to fix my problems. They show me how to use the tools in this book, how to go back to these chapters, and things are removed, you know, in a timely way, not always in my way, but This is an amazing book, and the truth is, and I'll finish up, you know, we have to fully concede in our innermost selves that we are alcoholics. The way we used to think and believe has to be smashed, and I loved what someone said about when something is smashed, it can't be put back together. I know now, you know, and I'm crying because my life has changed so much, and I'm so grateful. So I just want people to know that, you know, if they ever need to have a call or make a call for support, I am always there. I will always return phone calls. I love what I have been given. I love the people that I talk to. And I am just filled with gratitude. And thanks, Kathy Cram, for being one of those supports. And I will pass.
Thank you, Roz R. Anna M., please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. This is Anna M. from New Haven, Connecticut, a recovered compulsive eater. And what struck me with this reading, which is step one, the part where it says, the sentence that has a great truth to it, many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. And for me, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm a frequent flyer. I was in well, I've been in OA for over 20 years. So for me, I didn't understand it initially because many of the OA meetings that I had gone to for years and years weren't healthy, meaning that there wasn't a lot of recovery. And so for me, I want to say thank you to A Vision for You for giving me the truth about what I am and who I am, and also what I got from being on this line for so many years, or it's almost, I think, 3 years, is that a sentence out of the first step reads, "It was then discovered that when one alcoholic had planted in the mind of another the true nature of his malady, that person could never be the same again." And for me, I'm not the same. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. So, you know, I want to just say thank you to everybody on this line, even the people that don't share, don't get a chance to share, that we're all here. And this is just the truth about what I am. And I'm very grateful for that awareness today because, you know, I could have died from this disease multiple times, but thank you, God, and thank you, God. I'm still here, and I appreciate everyone. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna M. Debbie P., please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service. And it's Debbie P. as in tree.
Oh, sorry, Debbie.
Oh, no worries. Don't apologize. So good morning. Good morning, family. And man, are you guys bringing it this morning. I'm able to jump out of my seat. Step one, this is it. For years, in my experience with this, I just wanted to eat normal. I didn't care how much I weighed at that point. At the point of truly surrendering everything, I didn't care anymore. I just didn't want what I had. I didn't understand it. I didn't know why I was binging. I researched forever. I mean, I've spent so many hours and so many much money on books and what do I have? Why do I have it? What is going on? And so, man, I just want to take this time to talk to newcomers too. It's we do whatever we can, whenever we can, however we can to eat normally, right? No. Like, put the Brussels sprouts down. It doesn't matter what the food is to me. It didn't matter anymore. I finally, by God's blanket grace alone, was that moment given to me where I flirted with Brussels sprouts, where I flirted with roasted turkey. These things that people can eat that are compulsive overeaters, but for me, it looked different. And so that was step one, that, okay, if I put it down, like if I stop controlling and flirting and I'm just done, okay, I'm not ever going to eat normal again. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Like, that, it's food. It's what we do every day. It's how we survive. That's a hard pill to swallow of you're never going to eat normal again. And for that day, when I put that last thing down, and it was Brussels sprouts, it wasn't a cupcake, it wasn't a big tub of ice cream, it was Brussels sprouts, that I could give everything I could to this program, give everything that I could to God. And like the couple shares this morning, there's freedom. And I know newcomers, it doesn't look like it because you're like, what if I can't eat normal for the rest of my life? That's not, there is freedom because I no longer have to control. I no longer have to flirt. My food is my food and it's nutritious. And I move on in service. I move on in loving my children. I move on in serving others, loving my family. They get me back. And I don't have to have those tears anymore of I'll never be a normal eater again, because that's a hard pill to swallow. God comes in. I just had to take step one. I had to put it down. I had to understand that the allergy, that I didn't get to pick this. I gave step one and that was it. The rest of it is God. The rest of it, that, like if I could speak in, it's not that hard. The rest of it, once you truly understand that allergy and that mental twist in a way that it doesn't matter what it looks like don't try to understand the process of it. Like some people say, just give it up. God comes in and takes over what you cannot do in my life. And in my, that's what's happened to me. And so I can only speak that out and say, man, it can happen to you too. So, you know, I don't know where my time is. I'm sorry, but, you know.
Time.
Okay. Ah, thank you so much, guys. I love you all. Have a beautiful day. Without a pass.
Thank you, Debbie T. And our final share will be from Kathy R. If you could take 2 minutes, Kathy, that would be great. Are you there?
This is Kathy R. Can I be heard?
Yes. Thank you, Kathy.
Great. Glad I squeaked in on this Friday. Thank you for everybody sharing. I'll keep it very brief. I just wanted to say, when I always read this part of the big book, I never have a problem. For my very first meeting many, many years ago, I never, ever balked at the term compulsive overeater. I identified it immediately. I understood I was one of us. I had no doubt in my mind. Where I went wrong was I didn't think I needed to do the solution the same way the rest of you did. I thought I could pick and choose. I thought I could make this a cafeteria plan. I thought I could go to meetings, which I did, and I got a lot of physical recovery. I thought I could have a sponsor, take out a sponsor when I wanted to, do it what I wanted to, how I wanted to, not take advice necessarily. What that got me was a lot of weight loss very quickly and not much else. And my recovery was not on a solid foundation. Fast forward 25 years of relapse, and I'm back. And I'm very grateful. My sponsor this time, I decided to listen to her. And one of the things she did was give me this phone number. And this has become a daily practice for me, calling into both meetings and listening and hearing what the real recovery is and following the steps, working through the big book, taking on, you know, I have a sponsee. I have a different approach to my recovery today, and for that I'm very grateful. Thank you all.
Thank you, Kathy R. And now it's time to close this first hour of the meeting. Thank you, everyone, who has shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today's 7 a.m. meeting, April 21st, is 9862. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Linda R., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Kathy. Good morning. This is Linda R., recovered in South Florida. Thank you for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day to the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.